This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe referred by the Inspector General to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
How do you feel about your former deputy, according to the Inspector General, lying to you, lying to investigators for a leak that the Inspector General said was only motivated to preserve his own reputation, having nothing to do with the FBI or the public's right to know?
They're conflicted. I like him very much as a person, but sometimes even good people do things they shouldn't do.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I've read the report. I'm not the judge in the case. I'm not the discipline decision maker in the case. I think it is accountability mechanisms working, and they should work, because it's not acceptable in the FBI or the Justice Department for people to lack candor. It's something we take really seriously.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So here's what you have. The Office of the Inspector General issued a report on the investigation of certain allegations relating to former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. On Friday, the 13th of April, the Department of Justice issued a report. The OIG concluded that Andy McCabe had lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. He violated FBI offense codes regarding candor and disclosed the existence of an ongoing investigation that violated FBI and DOJ policy constituting misconduct. Now, before we get into that, I want to go to a former U.S. acting U.S. attorney, Andy Economo, our senior counsel. Andy, let's be realistic here. When they say lack of candor, what are they talking about?
Lying. That's all it is. Very plain and simple. Four instances of it. October 2016, May 2017, July 28, 2017, and November 29, 2017. He was asked four times with respect to the disclosure of information to the Wall Street Journal and said he didn't know who did it and didn't have any idea, and that's lying. And lying is the lack of candor is a euphemism and a polite term for simply lying.
All right, phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, so in light of that report, so the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, he drafts a report. The Office of Inspector General is a separate group of lawyers and prosecutors, investigators inside each of these departments. Here's the Department of Justice. So they issue this report. We now learn that a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia has been raised in this report, or as an outflow of this report. What that means is that the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., will make an evaluation as to whether or not they want to proceed on potential criminal charges. James Comey's been on a book tour. He was asked by Jake Tapper of CNN about his former deputy. Here's what he said.
The Justice Department Inspector General sending a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney in D.C. regarding your former deputy, Andrew McCabe. They did this after releasing a report concluding McCabe repeatedly lied to investigators and to you. If they ultimately bring a case against Andrew McCabe, would you be a witness for the prosecution?
Potentially. I don't know whether the reporting is accurate. I know it's CNN reporting, but I don't know it of my own accord. But sure, given that the IG's report reflects interactions that Andy McCabe had with me and other FBI senior executives, I could well be a witness.
There you have it. I mean, so again, let me go to Than really quickly on this, and that is Washington's reaction to all this, because I know the committees, and then we got to get into the Comey letter that was brought out yesterday. I want to talk about that too in a moment. So there's a lot to deal here. What's the reaction to all this in the last 24 hours?
This is a very serious development, Jay. I mean, this is not the criminal referral letter that was sent by 11 members of Congress, although I think that's serious too. Jay, this is an appointee from President Obama looking into the facts of this and concluding that a potential crime was committed and referring it for criminal investigation. That is not a political move. That is a very serious criminal matter, and that's how D.C. is reacting.
Yeah, this is a big deal. All right, we've got a lot to talk about, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll take those calls when we come back from the break. Don't forget the ACLJ matching challenge at aclj.org. Yep. That's aclj.org. Logan?
That's right. We just launched on Facebook, having some technical difficulties, but we're up now. 1-800-684-3110. Welcome to the show. If you're watching online, that's at 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now or join us online, facebook.com/jsekulow, and Twitter or Periscope.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're just joining us. We've got a couple breaking news items. Number one is that the Office of Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, who is an Obama appointee, has referred to the United States Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia a criminal referral regarding the acts of wrongdoing, lack of candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. Also about disclosing the existence of an ongoing investigation violating FBI and DOJ policy constituting misconduct. That has been referred to the United States Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia. Now, McCabe worked for James Comey, and James Comey is on his book tour. Well, in the midst of the book tour, what was released yesterday were the notes from James Comey. And I will tell you, I reviewed the notes, as I'm sure most people that have had access to them, and which is now they're publicly available. I've reviewed the notes, and I find them fascinating, only in the sense that there's nothing in there that, to me, is constitutes any kind of legal violation aimed at the president. I think it was Michael Zeldin on CNN last night said, "My goodness, if it's looking at the discussion that James Comey or the memo he put together regarding the president's alleged conversation with him regarding Mike Flynn and Mike Flynn's termination. You remember that was that whole thing about whether the president said, 'I hope.'" You could find your way to see this way clear. He's a good guy. The president has not ever said he said that, but again, James Comey said he said it. So even if you take James Comey at face value, what Michael Zeldin said last night on CNN, let's see if we can find that. He said that's not the basis of an obstruction of justice case. So that was an interesting commentary. But then the bigger story, I think, or the most significant, is also this Inspector General report that's going on. Now, also, there's activity in Washington with regard to information that's necessary here, coming out of these committees that two members of the United States Congress, Mark Meadows, and I think the other was, tell me who the other one's there. I'm just drawing a blank for a second.
Bob Goodlatte? Is that who we're talking about?
It was Bob Goodlatte and Mark Meadows, and also there's one other, but we'll think about that. What's the status of that? They've made requests to the Justice Department for documentation.
Well, there have been multiple requests. And actually, Jay, I think
Jim
you've
Jordan's
tied
the other
in
the
exact...
Jim Jordan's yep. The other congressman. Yep.
you tie it exactly into the breaking news that you just delivered. Those memos from James Comey, the only reason they were delivered was because there was a threat of a subpoena. And when that subpoena was drafted and gathered and ready to be sent over, then lo and behold, the memo showed up. Jay, a lot of this ties together. And look, the smoking gun here when it comes to Andrew McCabe, or maybe we should say smoking guns because there's a lot of them, is that he lied under oath, as Andy said. And it actually he said he lacked candor both under oath and not under oath. So, Jay, the two conclusions I draw on the McCabe matter, there's a whole nother set on the Comey matter, but on the McCabe matter, there was certainly cause for firing. And now you take it to the additional step. Is there a cause for prosecution? Well, members of Congress think so. And now an Obama appointee, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, thinks so as well.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Well, look, I mean, Congress doesn't get to initiate prosecutions. So that's the job of the Department of Justice. Andy, I mentioned this to ask this to you. I used to do these when I was with Treasuries. You'd write a criminal reference letter, CRL. That's what apparently probably the OIG, the Office of Inspector General, took their report, sent it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The Inspector General does an investigation. They're the oversight agency, the watchdog agency of various departments of the U.S. government that includes the Justice Department. They write a report and they say, we believe crimes have been committed. Here's the investigative report. We called it a special agents report when it came from the Treasury Department, from CID. And the Treasury Department, I might say, in my day, did excellent criminal referral reports. And it's a blueprint, Jay, for criminal prosecution. You take it to the grand jury, you call the agent, and you have him testify. If the grand jury determines there's probable cause to believe in McCabe's case that he lied to an agent of the government on four occasions, then a true bill of indictment is returned for 18 U.S.C. 1001 violations or perhaps other violations that may have been committed, and you go to trial.
All right, so James Comey also addressed that, and that is he's referring to the Office of Inspector General report. That's the report I have here. The IG's report, by the way, doesn't guarantee that there's going to be a federal prosecution. It's just that it's been referred over. The IG's report was previously cited, remember, by Jeff Sessions and Chris Wray regarding the firing of Andrew McCabe. That was the basis upon which they did it right before his retirement. What's also interesting on that is the way James Comey's reacting to this. He was on with Jake Tapper last night on CNN as part of his book tour. Here's what he said.
I've read the report. I'm not the judge in the case. I'm not the discipline decision maker in the case. I think it is accountability mechanisms working, and they should work, because it's not acceptable in the FBI or the Justice Department for people to lack candor. It's something we take really seriously.
He also acknowledged when pressed, and he was pressed hard by Jake Tapper of CNN, that he may well end up being a witness in this case. Here's what he said.
The Justice Department Inspector General sending a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney in D.C. regarding your former deputy, Andrew McCabe. They did this after releasing a report concluding McCabe repeatedly lied to investigators and to you. If they ultimately bring a case against Andrew McCabe, would you be a witness for the prosecution?
Potentially. I don't know whether the reporting is accurate. I know it's CNN reporting, but I don't know it of my own accord. But sure, given that the IG's report reflects interactions that Andy McCabe had with me and other FBI senior executives, I could well be a witness.
Then Jake Tapper pressed James Comey on the leaking of information, and he was very direct on that. I want to get to that coming up in a few minutes. Let's get those ready to go, because I want to set that up, because I've always been concerned about the issue of James Comey leaking conversations he had with the President of the United States. And then there's Jake Tapper pointed out that some of these were classified documents, and his justification for it's interesting. So you have this, Andy, you got this whole Comey-McCabe thing going on right now, issue, because you got James Comey in the press on his book tour, Andrew McCabe in the press because of the OIG report. All of that's happening simultaneously. By the way, want your comments on all of this at 1-800-684-3110, but all that's happening right now.
It is. Comey's out there selling books. He's trying to promote himself and his books and his memoirs and all the things that he knows, and he's really, in many cases, stepping all over himself in the process of doing it. And when you look in simultaneously with that, the Inspector General says that Andrew McCabe, his deputy, wasn't he his deputy?
Yep.
It was his deputy, his chief deputy at the FBI, lied on four occasions about leaking a report to the Wall Street Journal with respect to the Clinton Foundation. I believe it was the Clinton Foundation investigation. So you've got two of these people out there, both of them liars in my estimation, who are trying to capitalize on their publicity, one in selling books and the other now probably trying to hide behind, his defense that he didn't mean to do it, or he was intentionally obfuscated.
So here's the other thing. Remember, in the Comey notes that have now been issued, he tells the president, allegedly, this is again based on James Comey's notes, that he's not a leaker, he's not a weasel. And then Jake Tapper hits it pretty pointedly on this point because, again, I'm holding up the memos here. In the memos, Comey writes about himself that he told the president that he's not a leaker, he's not a weasel. That's not the way he does it. Listen to what Jake Tapper then said.
You say you decided to ask your friend to then leak some information about your interactions with the president, not classified information, but information about your interactions with the president. And you say you did this, you testified that you did this to try to force the creation of a special counsel. Why? Why would a special counsel be needed?
Because I thought that the department, as currently supervised, would not be aggressive enough to go serve process to get the tapes.
Because Jeff Sessions is too weak.
Well, he had recused himself.
And so Rod Rosenstein
was
too
weak. There was a new deputy attorney general who I didn't have confidence in given what I'd seen around my firing. And so I thought something has to be done.
So there you have. James Comey lays it out himself. I mean, there it is. Between McCabe and Comey right now, you've got a lot on the plate, to say the least. All right, we're going to take more calls. Go ahead and take a call here. Phone lines are open. We want your reaction to all of this. The James Comey book tour, the testimony, the book, the Andrew McCabe issue. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, Jerry in Rhode Island, line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Jerry, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. For the last time I've been listening to you, you guys always defend the working level FBI guy.
Yes, sir.
And I have empathy for those guys. But it turns out, I remember when everything broke on McCabe's firing, it was on one of the outlets, McCabe said, if I go down, you're all going down. That's turning out to be one of the most factual seventh floor comments I've heard.
Well, I don't know. And I don't know about that. I do know this. I know there's a criminal referral based on the inspector general's report. And that is what's leading this right now. And I think we have to just be clear what we're dealing with. I'm going to get into, especially in the second half hour of the program, more of the whole Comey-McCabe interplay here, because I think it's significant. We'll take more calls at 800-684-3110. But this I do know. There's an Office of Inspector General report that has now been sent over with a criminal referral to the United States Department of Justice in the DOJ office in Washington, D.C. It's at the U.S. Attorney's Office. We'll see what happens there. They could accept it. They could open up an investigation. They could decline it. They can investigate to see if they're going to decline it. There's a lot of things that can happen. All right. We're going to be back in just a few moments, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We do have an update. Are we going to do it, Will? On Andrew Brunson? Yeah, we got an update. We told you we'd come back to you with updates, and we'll talk more about the news of the day. But we're going to talk about the Brunson matter in just a moment, because we got an update that's just happened. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. You can find us broadcasting live online, facebook.com/jseculo, aclj.org, and also Twitter. And Periscope at Jay Sekulo. Again, phone lines are open for your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the Andrew Brunson matter for a moment because we do have some news on him. We told you we'd come to you when we had news. We also are going to be talking about the Andrew McCabe, James Comey matter. All of that we'll get back to in a moment, but I want to talk about the Andrew Brunson matter. First, let me go to Washington, D.C., to our senior counsel, government affairs director, Than Bennett, because we're holding in our hand here a letter signed by 66 members of the United States Senate, Republicans and Democrats, condemning what, and this is to Erdogan, the head of Turkey, and demanding the release of Brunson. Than, exactly what do we have here? This is very important.
Well, signed by 66 senators in a bipartisan fashion, overwhelmingly bipartisan, led by Tom Tillis and Jeanne Shaheen. Jay, essentially what they say, let me read the concluding line of the letter, because I think this is really the news worth delivering. It says, the signatories of this letter have concluded that other measures, that really means sanctions, will be necessary to ensure that the government of Turkey respects the law, the right of law-abiding citizens. Jay, it directly answers the charge that you gave to Congress yesterday, that now was the time to escalate the pressure. No more talking nice. It was time to exert pressure on Turkey. 66 U.S. senators. Jay, it's hard to get 66.
I was
going to
say, what are the other?
The
I'd like to get a list of the 37 that haven't signed and get calls into their offices.
Well, we could do that, but I'll tell you what, in a quick turnaround like this, 66 is very impressive.
People should be impressed by that. It's very impressive. You know, Andy, it's interesting. They said they gave Turkey time to work it through the judicial system. Now Congress has recognized what we knew since the beginning, that this was a sham to begin with.
There is no judicial system in Turkey. There is no independent judiciary in Turkey as there is in the United States and other Western democracies. And let's not fool ourselves into saying that there isn't. That there is such a judiciary. The judge, whoever he is in the Brunson case in Izmir, is responding to directives from Ankara. This is a political case. He is a political prisoner. It is a political hostage situation, and it is a barbarous act on the part of the Turkish government.
So we have a bipartisan group of 66 senators sending a letter to President Erdogan demanding the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson. We also have diplomatic efforts we know going on, CC, at the highest levels right now. So now you got Congress, diplomatic levels, the United Nations engaged. All of that's happened really in the last, at this level, in the last, I'd say, since the trial date. And now you're working on the witnesses.
Yes, continuing to work with the attorney in Turkey, gathering the witness statements for the May 7th trial date
that
is upcoming.
Which we hope happens. Yeah.
We do, or we hope he's released before then.
Yeah.
And Noreen is very grateful for all the efforts this week from the president, vice president, ambassador, senators, the letters. Family's very grateful for those efforts.
But the family's still under a tremendous amount of stress. Remember, the big issue was, you know, can he get transferred to another prison? So they transferred him to another prison. That's not a release. That's transferring him to another prison. It's not as bad as the previous prison. That's not an answer. So if you see any of that in the news, as if that's some great development, I'm glad he's not in the prison that was as bad as the other prison, but he's in a Turkish prison. So it's not a good situation. So that's we don't define victory as to what prison he's in. We define victory as to his release. Now we've got the Senate saying release him. So that's good news, and I'm encouraged about that. But we cannot drop our guard for a moment. Now, Mike Pompeo's up for the Secretary of State. We've been concerned about that. You all have been calling. We've got another positive development on that one. We've got our first Democratic senator saying yes. Dan?
Yeah, that's right, Jay. Heidi Heitkamp, a Democrat senator, previously supported Mike Pompeo to be the director of the CIA. She has now said she will vote yes for Mike Pompeo. So as of this moment, Jay, it looks like he has the votes to be confirmed next week. But I want to say this very clearly on the heels of that. We need to keep the pressure up because we have seen waffling from senators on both sides of the aisle on this nomination and other personnel inside the Trump administration for reasons that don't relate to their qualifications. Mike Pompeo is possibly the most qualified qualified nominee to be Secretary of State that you've seen. And by the way, people like John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, Condoleezza Rice, you're talking about people that got 84, 85 votes in the United States Senate. The fact that we're talking about a margin of one or two for Mike Pompeo is not acceptable.
No,
great news about Heidi Heitkamp, but until he's confirmed, our pressure stays up.
Also, we've got Angela Merkel's coming to the United States next week. That's what we know. That's what we've heard. And that, in fact, we still do not have Rick Grenell on the floor of the United States Senate. He is the ambassador designate. He should be confirmed. He's a friend of ours. He's got a great background for this. And I will take it a step further. Everybody that's listening should be calling Mitch McConnell's office and say, get him on the floor. Maybe even this week if possible. And I think you could still do it. And get it done, because this is, we need him in that portion of Europe. I mean, it's a G7 country. So I think it's critical. So again, and very important for you to everyone to engage on this. Than, give the number to call the United States switchboard, Senate switchboard,
sure,
Capitol switchboard.
202-224-3121. And the message to them, Jay, is very simple. You can't have the Chancellor of Germany come to the United States and not have an ambassador to Germany sitting there by the president when they greet them.
I mean,
he needs to be
that.
Confirmed next week in advance.
Yeah, think about that. We need to make sure Rick Grenell is confirmed, but he needs to be at that meeting, obviously. But he needs to be at that meeting. It'd be nice for him to be at that meeting as the ambassador, not just the ambassador designate. All right, so we're going to work on all those, but at least a positive development on Mike Pompeo. CeCe was talking about witness interviews coming. We got tremendous media coverage. I want to say a huge thank you again to all of our friends in the media, all the major networks, all the major papers around the globe. Witness interviews, how many are you working on right now, CeCe?
Right now I'm dealing with seven and getting those prepared for the Turkish attorney, and there should be several more coming as we go through the indictment.
Andy says, and I think it's important for Andy to put this in context, we're defending the case even though we know it's a sham, but we're defending it because if we don't defend it, they're going to say they didn't even put on a case.
We have to, in the court of
public opinion.
Go out there, get the witnesses, help Chem, the attorney for Andrew Brunson, get his documentation and his witness statements together in the proper fashion, even though we know that the trial is a joke. And it's really a joke. It's a political show trial on the Stalinist model that Erdogan is orchestrating from Ankara, and there's nothing legitimate about it.
All right. Coming up in the next half hour of the program, we're going to get right back into the situation with the James Comey statements and Andrew McCabe. Fascinating. And then Comey was pressed very hard by Jake Tapper. I'm going to save it for the next segment of the broadcast on this issue of leaks. And I mean, Tapper hit him from CNN. Jake hit him really directly on this. And you get a sense of what he did. Remember, this was a guy who said he wanted to leak the information so he'd get a special counsel. And lo and behold, there was a special counsel appointed. So, again, that was his goal. That happened. And we're dealing with that. But the fact is that the whole process of leaking this is, I think, seriously problematic. And it certainly was, Andy, for Andrew McCabe.
Yes, it was.
Leaking information about the Clinton Foundation investigation, apparently, to
the
reporters.
Wall Street Journal, right?
And that's one of the charges he's up with.
Of course, the real problem is that he lied about it on four different occasions, and the IG has found him out and has now referred the case to the Justice Department, the United States Attorney for criminal prosecution. I mean, four occasions he lied about the leaks to the Wall Street Journal. He needs to be held accountable. Other people are. He should be, too. And especially, he was deputy director, Jay, of the FBI. This is no small fry.
All right. So we're back for another 30 minutes, and we've got a lot to talk about. So if you're on Facebook and Periscope, you're going to want to share it with your friends. But if you don't get the broadcast, Logan's going to let you know how you can.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting each and every day, Monday through Friday, online live at facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter at JSeculo, also on ACLJ.org. Phone lines are open, though. We're going to do another half hour of the show. So if you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting on those live outlets online. You can also find it on the ACLJ app. Available in the App Store. You can also find us archived later on the JSecu Live podcast, again at ACLJ.org or on the app. You can also give us a call if you want your voice heard right now, 1-800-684-3110.
By the way, we've got an email out on Andrew Brunson's case. We appreciate you responding to that. Now over 540,000 signatures, and now 66 United States senators saying release the American. Also, your support of the ACLJ is critical and our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, the ACLJ gets a matching gift. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Everyone, so here's what you've got. The Department of Justice Office of Inspector General issued a report entitled Report on the Investigation of Certain Allegations Relating to Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. That report has been sent over to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. by the Inspector General. This was known as a CRL, a criminal reference letter. I used to do those when I was with Treasury. I'd send those over to Andy's office when he was a justice. So I was a justice in the Southeast Regional Office in Atlanta. Andy was a U.S. attorney in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta, and I would, if we had a case that we thought was a criminal tax matter or should be viewed as a criminal tax matter, our job at Chief Counsel's office was to bundle the case, put it together, then send it to Andy's office at the U.S. Attorney's Office and say, we think this is worthy of a criminal referral. Is that what's happened here, Andy?
That's exactly what has happened. It's just a little different. Instead of coming from the Treasury Department as your tax evasion and tax fraud cases came, this is coming from the Inspector General, which is the watchdog agent of the Justice Department. Each agency of the United States government has an Inspector General whose job it is to oversee and make sure that there is not anything wrong going on in the agency, and if there is, to report it. And this is exactly what has happened in this case. Horowitz, the IG for the Department of Justice, has put together a criminal referral and has sent it to the United States Attorney and says in it, basically, I think a crime has been committed. The law was broken. If you want to do something about it, that's your decision. Do it or not as you choose.
All right, we're going to take a call. We normally don't in this segment. We've had people holding. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Look, we can do a call or a comment. It's completely up to you.
Let's go to a call. Let's go to Jesse Schmidt. Hold for a while in Redmond, Washington. You're on the air.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Well, okay, so I don't know if this is a really simplistic question or not, but I was wondering, how is a congressional criminal referral treated differently than the IG criminal referral?
So, you could have a criminal referral, I guess, sent over by the Congress.
As a matter of fact, there was a criminal referral sent by Congress on Eric Holder, Obama's attorney general, to find him in contempt of Congress, and it was sent to the Democratic U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, who did nothing about it.
Yeah, so you can do it. This is coming, though, internally. This is coming from the Office of Inspector General in the Department of Justice over to, in this situation, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. Now, on top of that, you've got Congress then asking for documents, demanding documents, I should say. What is the documents they're demanding and what is the status of it? Now, one of the documents they demanded were the Comey notes. They got those last night.
Right. And those are the big ones. They were threatening to subpoena them, but there's a lot of others as well. And just to reach back to Jesse's question real quick, Jay, and this is what we opened the broadcast with, but what makes the Inspector General's referral different from the one she's probably referring to? There were 11 members of Congress that sent a criminal referral that included this allegation against Andrew McCabe. But I think people look at that, Jay, as they say, well, it's a bunch of Republicans, and they don't know if it has the credibility. I would say it did, but this is a nominee of President Barack Obama looking at the same set of facts and concluding that there was wrongdoing. So to me, Jay, what it does is it broadens the credibility and says that someone without a political stake in the game here has come to the same conclusion. To me, that's the difference that is the most significant.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. I mean, I think that you cannot... You're trying to make it politics out of it. People will, but Michael Horowitz was appointed by President Obama. By the way, I believe, there's a second Inspector General's report to be issued. I don't know when they're going to issue it, and that is on the whole way the Hillary Clinton email investigation was handled. So that'll be forthcoming as well. And, of course, James Comey in his book talks a lot about that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play the leaking aspect of this. James Comey in his notes said that he told the president, "I don't do sneaky things. I don't link. I don't do weasel moves." And Jake Tapper asked him exactly about that on CNN. We're going to play that when we come back for you. We're taking your calls. Phone lines are open. What's your reaction to all this? 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we have exclusive videos coming up in the break. So right now will be a video on Pastor Brunson. So that's coming up in the break. If you're watching online, know that if you watch online, participate on our website, on Facebook or Periscope, we never go to commercial break. We either continue the conversation or we play exclusive videos made by our video team each and every day that they get done just for you all that watch online. Again, you can give us a call while we go to break, 1-800-684-3110. There are a few lines open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about Andrew McCabe, the Inspector General's report. James Comey commented on him a couple of times. But also there was an interesting dialogue that went on in Jake Tapper's interview on CNN. And I'm reading from you from the report that was, or the Comey notes that were released yesterday. And again, this is his version of meetings he had with the President of the United States. So again, I want to say that you need to understand that this is notes that he compiled while having conversations with the President of the United States. Those are the notes that are released. This is not a recorded transcript. So I want to be clear on that. This is James Comey's notes that were originally classified and then looks like declassified, maybe even as late as yesterday, maybe before that as well. But anyways, in talking to the president about remember the whole discussion about loyalty or not loyalty, did the president say it, did he not say it? James Comey said he said he would be reliable. He said James Comey said he would give him honest loyalty. But he also said this: "I said I don't do sneaky things. I don't link. I don't do weasel moves." Now I want you to hear the conversation with James Comey and Jake Tapper yesterday on Jake Tapper's program, when he was asked about the fact that you sent out these other memos of yours that may have included classified information in them to a friend of yours. And listen how Jake Tapper asked the question and listen to the response.
You say you decided to ask your friend to then leak some information about your interactions with the president, not classified information, but information about your interactions with the president. And you say you did this, you testified that you did this to try to force the creation of a special counsel. Why? Why would a special counsel be needed?
Because I thought that the department, as currently supervised, would not be aggressive enough to go serve process to get the tapes.
Because Jeff Sessions is too weak.
Well, he had recused himself.
And so Rod Rosenstein was too weak.
It was a new deputy attorney general who I didn't have confidence in given what I'd seen around my firing. And so I thought something has to be done.
I mean, just think about this for a moment. He's no longer the FBI director. So what he's doing is he's leaking this information to this friend of his that he thought would trigger a special counsel because he said Sessions is too weak. He'd recused himself. Well, he actually, Comey didn't say he was too weak. That was Jake Tapper. And then he said, Rosenstein, well, you know, based around things surrounding my firing, so I thought something had to be done. So that's what he says. Then he gets pressed on the fact that he leaks the information. And this is, again, he leaks this information. Can you imagine taking your notes from a meeting with the President of the United States and leaking them to a third party? And for the purpose of whatever your purpose is. I mean, to me, could you imagine if an FBI agent or even a... Remember, these notes were taken at the time he was the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now, could you imagine if an FBI agent were to take their 302 notes and release them after they left the FBI based on conversations, Andy, they had with the President of the United States?
I'd prosecute him to the highest extent that I could possibly do so. And this is a weasel move on the part of Comey. He takes documents or information that he has gotten from a confidential meeting with the president, gives it to some law professor of his to get the goal that he ultimately wants, which is a special counsel because he thinks the Department of Justice is too weak. Jay, don't you remember he did the same thing with the Loretta Lynch situation? He made the decision that Hillary Clinton should be exonerated when that was a decision that should have been made by the Attorney General of the United States.
Or if she was recused because of the Clinton meeting, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. None of these people were strong enough for James Comey. But having said that, okay, here is Jake Tapper's question about what some view as a move of manipulation.
What do you say to people who say, boy, that seems awfully manipulative, not your role, and maybe even it seems like payback?
Yeah, I don't think of it that way. I was a private citizen who saw something I could do. I thought that was very, very important. And I did it and it obviously acknowledged it the moment I was asked about it publicly. I thought it was something that needed to be done. And a private citizen can talk about their unclassified conversations with the president.
Can a private citizen talk about the private conversations they had with the president? Well, there might be executive or deliberative privilege. I just raised one issue that, as and this putting on my hat as the president's lawyer, I mean, just think about that for a moment. But putting that aside, he was a former FBI director. These weren't notes or recollections he had after the fact. Purportedly, these were notes that he took, you know, within hours or days of having these meetings. And he, or in this case, he leaked some later. James Comey is then pressed again by Jake Tapper on this because about this idea, well, now I'm a private citizen, I can do this. And by the way, I don't know if we have it. Do we have the sound where he talks about the classified nature of these? Some of these may have been classified. There's a whole discussion about that in the Jake Tapper interview. But let's go ahead and play the one where when Jake Tapper pressed him on the previous comment where he says what you say about a private citizen, that private citizens normally don't do that. Listen.
But the average private citizen doesn't think to him or herself, I'm going to leak this information so as to force the creation of a special counsel. I mean, it's an extraordinary gambit that you made, and obviously it paid off, and congratulations, but it's not the kind of thing that the average private citizen would do.
Of course not, but the average private citizen, first of all, I don't take any joy in it, so I don't accept the congratulations, but it's the average private citizen didn't have a one-on-one conversation with the President of the United States where he asked him to drop a criminal investigation and then tweet at him after he's fired that he better hope there aren't tapes.
So, okay, so James Comey is I guess his answer is he's responding to a tweet, whatever, all right, that not going to get into that, but I will get into this. A private citizen who was the FBI director releasing information and notes that he had based on a conversation he had in his official capacity as the head of the FBI, I mean, to me, that is troubling. Former U.S. Attorney Andy Economo.
It is very troubling because that is not something that a director or former director of the FBI should be doing. You don't release confidential information and leak things that you talked about to the president. That the FBI stands for, among other things, integrity. That's the last thing in the world that James Comey has, Jay, is integrity. He is a weasel when he does the things that he did.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, the use of the term weasel is what James Comey put in his memo, that he's not a weasel. He's not a weasel. I don't leak. I don't do sneaky things. Take that for what it's worth. All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. And let's go ahead and take some. We've had some people holding here for a while. Let's go ahead and do this.
Yep, let's go to Mary, New York on line one. You're on the air.
And let's also get a comment ready from Facebook Periscope. I've seen a lot of them coming in. All right, Mary, go ahead.
Thank you. What happens if the Department of Justice decides not to prosecute McCabe?
Yeah, so he wouldn't be criminally prosecuted. He was fired, so there's the issue of his retirement. And that there's an internal mechanism on how that's adjudicated. But that's how that would work. I mean, the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office, will make a determination based on their review of the evidence as to whether they can prove a criminal case or not. I'm not weighing in on whether there is or isn't. I'm just based on what is reported by the Office of Inspector General. There seems to be a baseline to have an investigation as to criminality. That's how these work. There were conclusions made that there were violations of the law, and that was in this lengthy report by Mike Horowitz, the Office of Inspector General, and we'll see where that goes. But again, that's how this process works. Now, Than, on the Comey memos, which were being asked for by members of the House, what else is up or due from the Department of Justice on this?
A lot of different documents relating to the conversation between the people on the seventh floor of the FBI, Jay, and I actually think the documents that they look for actually speak to what the caller just asked about. I think they want to know not just about James Comey and Andrew McCabe, but about Peter Strzok and James Rybicki and Jim Baker and all of the others that were involved in these decisions, Jay. And look, you talk about the Comey memos. He said, "I don't leak." He should have added to that, "except when I decide that I have to." And if you want to tie it to what Andrew McCabe's charged with right now, if he's being investigated for lacking candor, how in the world would you not investigate James Comey for lacking candor to the President of the United States? "I don't leak," after having already testified that he drafted four of these memos for the purpose of releasing them later, Jay. And then he did, of course.
Yep. All right, so there you have it. We're going to, we have time for a call, or do you want to do a comment?
We can see if there's a comment. A lot of people are just complaining. It seems like he's exempt from prosecution.
Well, who are we talking about?
Comey.
Well, Comey has, there's been no criminal charges raised on James Comey. The Inspector General hasn't issued a report regarding James Comey. So, you know, I'm not going to opine on that. Nobody should opine on that until there's evidence. All we're reporting is what the Office of Inspector General did as it relates to the deputy director of the FBI. Now, there was a whole conversation with, you know, the Page and the Strzok and Page text messages, and there was conversations on that. We'll save that when we get back from the break, but we'll also take more of your phone calls as well. But, Andy, these things, people need to understand there has to be due process. There has to be an investigation.
There has been, and the Inspector General, yes, there. That's the procedure, and the IG for Justice has done just that, has sent it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office. They will make an independent determination as to whether or not to prosecute.
All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back. By the way, don't forget the matching challenge for the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, the ACLJ gets a matching gift. So if you donate $20, the ACLJ gets $40. You know how that works. ACLJ.org. And again, the update on Pastor Brunson, 66 members of the United States Senate sending a letter to Erdogan saying, "Let this pastor go." The diplomatic pressure is coming now full steam, and if they don't, there's going to be an increase in the sanctions, at least coming out of the United States Senate, and I'm sure that would pass in the House of Representatives as well. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Is the number. It's the last segment of the broadcast. You can talk to us. We'll take your calls. Let me say, joining us in the studio is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison. I want to get his overview first, and then I'm going to play for you the questioning that went on between Jake Tapper and James Comey on the Lisa Page, Peter Strzok text messaging issue, and I will talk to you about how that all plays out. But Harry, kind of give us your overview of what you're seeing with all of this in the last 24 hours.
Well, first, Jay, I would suggest that the FBI has become a highly politicized organization led, at least formally, by a morally compromised leaker-in-chief, James Comey. And following in James Comey's fairly large footsteps...
Have to be.
Andrew,
he is one tall guy. Oh, you see those videos?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Andrew McCabe authorized leaks to the Wall Street Journal and then lied about it. Taken together, Comey and McCabe's behavior have contributed to a loss of confidence in the FBI that needs to be restored immediately.
And look, we know that the line FBI just, by and large, for overwhelming super majorities of them, do great jobs. And it's not the line agents here, but there are agents in supervisor positions that did things that are incorrect. I'm going to play one of them right now, and I'm going to let Jake Tapper do the questioning. And this is about Strzok and Page. Remember that one? That was the emails about we need insurance against Donald Trump's election. We have to have, you know, could this be happening? We had the meeting in Andy's office for the insurance policy. Andy, we believe now, Andrew McCabe, and that's what the report indicates. So let's take a listen.
Put yourself in Donald Trump's shoes for 1 second. You're Donald Trump, and you feel this is unfair, this investigation. You find out that Peter Strzok, the lead FBI agent, is texting somebody disparaging things about you. And then you find out that he's the one that actually helped conduct the Hillary Clinton interview. And he called you an idiot. Wouldn't you think that this whole thing was unfair and politicized?
Sure, I get why he'd be very concerned about that. It's the reason Bob Mueller removed Peter Strzok, who's an excellent agent, but removed him from that investigation. It's poor judgment, and it shouldn't happen. So I get the concern about it.
So Lenny pushes James Comey on the leadership because Peter Strzok worked for James Comey. Just listen to this.
Does it say anything about your leadership that Strzok, who is a very high-level FBI agent, was doing this? Did you set in any way any sort of tone where that kind of glib insult of a major political candidate at the time would be not that big a deal?
No, but it does say something about my leadership. I mean, I'm responsible for the senior members of my team, and I've asked myself the same question. I tried to model a certain way of acting, which did not include that kind of behavior, but I asked myself, should I have given them all a speech?
Yeah, well, there you go. Andy, what's your reaction to that?
Should I have given him a speech? What a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, you're the director of the FBI. You feel slightly nauseous when you're with the president. You're intimidated by the president, or you feel intimidated. Maybe you should give a speech. What kind of a director of the FBI are you?
He was not very kind to Loretta Lynch, I'll tell you that, when you read through his notes and his comments and his book. I mean, that's for sure. And whenever you want to, it's an interesting way he depicts this. All right, we're going to, last segment of the broadcast, Logan, so we got to try to get through as many of these as we can.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Patricia, online four in Grand Rapids. You're on the air.
Hi, Patricia, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, supporter of ACLJ. Great. I just wanted to make a comment, and I'm sure I'm speaking for so many out there. To me, I was a public school teacher for 25 years, and the atmosphere in the organization comes from the top.
Yeah.
We've seen Strzok and Page and McCabe and all of these names in the leadership. And
yeah, don't forget Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr. He was the number four at the Justice Department meeting with Fusion GPS. Yeah, all of that was going on. Go ahead.
The nepotism stinks to high heaven. I mean, anyway, and making millions of dollars as public servants, this had to have come from the Oval Office. You cannot tell me, and most...
You're talking about came from the President Obama?
Yeah.
I don't think I have no basis in evidence at all that this whole matter came and this happened because President Obama gave an order. There's no evidence of that. I haven't seen it, if there is. I will say this, that what was going on at the Department of Justice is, Harry, very troubling. And you have to look at this and say, and I want your view on this, how do you move the agency forward? That's the thing that the American people want to know. How do you move the agency forward? The IRS, it took a lawsuit. It took a injunction, monetary damages to get the tax-exempt organization back into its constitutional framework or statutory framework. We did that in our litigation. How do you do it here?
Well, first, you have to hold wrongdoers accountable. So Comey has said he is not a leaker, that he is not a weasel. McCabe says he was authorized to leak. It strikes me that this ought to play out in court. So we need a DOJ thorough investigation. We already have an IG's report, and these individuals need to be held accountable. Bruce Orr needs to be held accountable for at least giving the appearance of impropriety with respect to the whole Fusion GPS matter, meeting with Glenn Simpson. So these individuals need to be held accountable. I think that's the first step in this process.
Dan, is there any sense that that's going to happen?
I think there is, Jay. And actually, I think it's more important than what the caller asked about the White House, because many of these people, Jay, they're still there. So this will happen again unless we get to the bottom of it and they are removed from their post.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, Joanne, online too. You're on the air.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I really love to listen to your show, and wanted to just make a comment about Call Me. That I just graduated with a business degree, so I'm not speaking from out of nowhere. Excuse me. He's pretty much a classic textbook case at this point, as far as being a disgruntled employee. He's out there just trying to make himself look so great, but he's trashing everybody else along the way.
And literally, Joanne, there's not many people that are not that if you're in that book that are not unscathed, Danny. I mean, he definitely has this view of himself and his demeanor and his leadership style that was pressed hard by Jake Tapper, but the people he came in contact, nobody quite met his standards.
No, he was, clearly he's a public figure. He's an egotistical egomaniac, very arrogant, making decisions that the attorney general or the deputy attorney general should make in connection with the Hillary Clinton matter, making decisions that Rod Rosenstein should have been this or should have been that, and he didn't like the way the leadership style at the Justice Department was going, so he was going to take matters in his own hands. He was dismissive of Jeff Sessions and Jake Tapper. He didn't reply to the question of whether he was weak. He was the be-all and the end-all. He set the standard that everybody needed to follow. James Comey put himself in this super moral position.
All right, there you have it. Well, that was quite the hour. We covered a lot of topics, including the update on Andrew Brunson. Don't forget, there's a lot of ways to stay connected with the ACLJ, even over the weekend. And Logan's going to let you know all the ways you can do that. Then I'm going to ask you to do something at the end here.
That's right. If you haven't gone to ACLJ.org recently, go ahead and go there, because there's great news and blogs that get posted every single day. You can find that again at ACLJ.org. Download the ACLJ app in the App Store on Apple devices, including Apple TV. Also, the ACLJ channel in the Roku channel store. You can find us there. Just search ACLJ. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow podcast. Make sure you're following us on all social medias. Again, that's at Twitter at JSekulow at ACLJ. You can find out all that content, like I said, each and every day on ACLJ.org, including our show. It's live Monday through Friday.
All right. Also, I want to say a huge thank you to those of you that have been speaking out for Pastor Andrew Brunson. Your voice has been heard in Washington, D.C., with the Senate, 66 members of the United States Senate, bipartisan Democrats and Republicans, coming to his defense, demanding his release. That's a very good start.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.